But Life in Motion, the title today would be Motion Requires Surrender. Say that back to me. And I want to open up with this scripture that this is something I placed early this morning. 1 John 4:4 in the New International Version. And every word of the Lord is a seed. I want you to mark this down. Every word of the Word of God is a seed. And if you plant it in your heart, it will grow. You will receive joy. You will receive power and strength and ability. You say, Bishop, how can you prove it? Look at my life. I'm 37 years old and God has never failed me. 1 John 4:4 says, you dear children, he's talking to you. You dear children are from God and have overcome them. Who? The world. You've overcome the spirit of Antichrist is where he's leading here. God, and you've overcome them because the one who is in you, say in me.
In me.
The one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Do you understand that? There's something dwelling in you that is greater than the world or the world system. So I looked this morning and I thought to myself, the lesser can never lead the greater. He that's in me is greater than he that is in the world. The lesser cannot ever lead the greater. And that's where we get into a problem in our church and our lives and our families. The lesser, and that's happening in our homes. We let the children try to rule the house instead of the parents leading the house. God is our Father and he needs to lead the house. Am I right or wrong? So the lesser can never lead the greater. And if you try to do that, if you try to follow that principle, you will never be able to, watch this, if you try it, you will throw your whole life out of balance. Let me give you a case in point. I used to have a horse, and I'd take that horse. He was a stallion, and he was headstrong, and, I mean, he just was all full of himself. And I'd hold on to him, and you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to get to the mayor's. I don't know why. And I'd hold on to him, and he was a beautiful horse. Appaloosa, gorgeous. And I found myself, him wanting to lead me. And he all wanted to lead me into places I didn't want to go. So I had to take charge of him and let him know who the boss was because, you see, I'm the greater, he was the lesser in that. Didn't matter about the size. I had dominion over him. He was my property. We are God's property. We belong, if I'm reading that scripture correctly, he's calling us dear children. We belong to God. So flesh, mark this down, flesh cannot dictate to the spirit. Flesh cannot demand of the spirit. The spirit demands of the flesh. So motion requires surrender. And life as we know it, life is not static. What do you mean by that? Let me give you an explanation by definition. Life with God is not static, meaning it's not lacking in movement. It's not lacking in action. And it's not lacking in change. Because when you walk with God, you're going to find movement, you're going to find action, and you're going to experience change, right or wrong. And it, by definition, especially in a way viewed as undesirable or uninteresting. God will never be in your life undesirable or uninteresting. He'll get your attention. Has God ever gotten your attention? If yes, say amen.
Amen.
So God has a plan. God has a plan. So in God, it's all about movement. It's all about progress. So in God, it's about movement. But to move forward in God, we must let go of control and let God lead. Now, that's the most difficult thing you'll ever do. I know it's hard to let go. Turn to your wife and say that. I know it's hard to let go. We're not built that way. But remember, you're not letting go in God. You're not letting go into the unknown. Well, I'm letting go into the unknown. I'm just like a man floating in space. No, 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 no. You're not letting go into the unknown. You're letting go into God's creative power. That's who you're letting go to, God's creative power. And you're letting Him have His perfect way in your life. Now, when that happens, I was telling Randy this morning, he doesn't belong to Randy. Randy belongs to God. So if there's something wrong in your body, but understand, Doc, if you're having a problem with your heart, that heart doesn't belong to you, although it's in your body. That heart belongs to God. And because it belongs to God, He's under His own word. He said, because you're my child, I'm going to take care of you. And because of the cross, He says, I've healed you by my stripes. You're made whole. Now, whatever method He uses, He could use a doctor. He could use other scientific methods. He can use whatever He wants to use. But believe me when I tell you, whatever is in your life belongs to God. Doesn't matter if it's your head or your shoulder or your ankles or your heart or your liver. What I'm trying to say for those that need healing today, you can be healed because you're already healed. You belong to Him. What you're saying is when you let go, you're letting Him have His perfect way in your life. God, I want Your perfect way in my life. I don't want my way, because my way, has anybody else experienced this? Your way messed up? Really and truly, Terry, is your way, it'll mess you up. You see, when you let go, and truly let go into God, and I've had to do this lately. I've had just to let go and say, God, you know better. You know what you're doing. When you let go, you're letting go into the source of all life. Everything that has been was created by God, for God, through God, for you to be obedient to Him so that He can bless you. Because He will bless you. In God, though, it's not about forcing a direction. So as I walk with God, I'm not trying to force a direction like the horse is trying to force me. And life, when we talk about life in motion, it isn't about forcing the pace. What do you mean? It's not about you how fast or slow. I don't try to force how fast things go in God. You won't get it that way. You try to rush God and watch what God does. Let me just make it clear. He's not going to change. All you're doing is wearing yourself out, because God's got a season, God's got a time, God's got a plan, and He's going to follow that to the letter. To the letter. So it's not about forcing how fast or how slow things go, because we want to do that also, because we want our prayers answered now. God, give me patience now. It doesn't work that way. It's about trusting God then to direct the path, direct the way. Direct the process. Moving with God isn't about control. So I'm in God, I want to control. It isn't about control. It's about letting Him take hold of the wheel and letting Him steer it. Now that's difficult sometimes. You've got to let go of the wheel in your life, and let Him steer where you're headed. And let me tell you, if you're looking for a new job, He'll steer you into it. If you're looking for healing, He'll steer you right into it. If you're looking for new relationships or better relationships, God will steer you into it. Just, you have to back out and let God be God in your life. Let Him speak and guide you through it, because He wants to. God really does love you. God really wants to show up in this room today. He is. He is here. His angels are here. His spirit is here. His presence is here. I'm telling you, I know when God is around, and He's with us today. So it's not about control. It's letting go, letting God direct our path. I want to take you to Matthew 16, verse 24 in the New Living Translation. I love the different translations. It says the same thing. It just describes it differently. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said, who said?
Jesus.
Okay, it either is Him or it's not. Then Jesus said to His disciples, just like I'm talking to you today, If any of you wants to be my follower, you must. What's those two little words? If you say that to your child, what does that mean? If you say you must clean your room, does that mean you have an alternative? That means it's multiple choice. Now, once your child realizes that you don't mean what you say, they're going to abuse that. Can I say that again? Once your child realizes you're not going to back up what you say, they're going to abuse it. Just like the animal will. If you are holding on to an animal, a dog, and he's pulling at you, and if you don't take control, he knows that you're going to let him do that over and over and over and over again. So you wonder, why is my child so bad? It's because you've let them be bad. You've allowed it. Why do they talk back? Because the first time they talk back, Doc, you didn't challenge it. The first time, you say, well, I'll let them do it five or six times, and I don't want to hurt their little id, their little spirits. I just want them to be happy. And I'm going to tell you how it happens. You raise up somebody that nobody wants to be around. I don't even know where I went off on that, but I'm just telling you, that's a fact. What you see is what you've raised. So don't blame the child. Don't blame your husband or your wife because y'all were all in it together. So let's go back to that. Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my followers, you must. Mandatory. You must turn from your selfish ways. What kind of ways? Selfish ways. That means the way you want to do it, when you want to do it, and take up your cross. What is the cross? The cross, Jesus died on the cross, but we don't die on the cross. The cross for us becomes a door where we enter into the kingdom of God. So in context, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross or the door, and follow me the way. And then we hear Paul talking in Romans 12:1. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means every day that I live, I'm offering up to him. God, what do you need from me today? What do you want from me today? Now, God, I'll give anything you need of me. Chris, I'll give it all. Now, this is it. Except. Except my time when my special program comes on. Except my time when I want to go hang out with my friends. Except my time. Now, you see how that can work? We start putting exceptions in there, and God says there is no exceptions. Either you want to hear from me, either you want to be with me, or you do not. Am I making sense to anybody? As long as Pastor Mike's with me, I'm okay. He's my judge. So, what does it mean? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice on a daily basis and pleasing to God. It's got to please God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It's your spiritual act of worship that you do it this way. This is life in motion. If you really want to live a good life, how many people want to live a good life? I do. Even Paul said about his relationship with Christ, Paul the apostle, to the cross. No, he's talking about, I have crucified the flesh. I'm not letting the flesh lead me. I'm letting the Spirit of God do something in me. He said, I've been crucified with Christ, but I no longer live. In other words, sure, he's alive. He's still breathing. His heart is still beating. But the life that he has, he'll explain in a moment, it's because of Jesus. Watch. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But obviously, he was alive. But Christ lives in me. He's trying to show how important Jesus is to him in his life. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what was Paul saying? It's all because of Jesus. Same one that said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This statement has to echo in your heart every day of your life. Now, some of the things I'm saying to you, I let it echo in my heart every morning or every afternoon. I'm constantly rehearsing these verses and thoughts in my mind. This is something you need to remember. It's no longer I who live. It's not Jimmy Gross. It's not just Peggy. It's not just Randy. It's not Dr. Collier. It's not just Terry. You got to get into your mind. It's Christ in me, working through me, in me. And if there's any good thing about Alan Meshuggah, it's not about this. It's about the spirit that dwells in this body. Are you following me? Because this flesh is bad. If this flesh is left untouched by the spirit, you wouldn't want to know me. Because he's the only one that has control. He's the one that brings peace and sanity in an insane world. You know, we live in an insane world. A life in motion, you have to touch on that. And we've gotten into insanity. We live in a society of litigation. I mean, we want to litigate on everything. I mean, nobody's happy, and everybody's trying to sow discord and strife amongst people. Whether they're rich or poor or this or that or red or yellow or black or white or educated, uneducated, we're trying to cause a great divide in the world today. And I'm going to tell you, that's not of Jesus. That's not of Christ. He said, listen, brothers, he said, I don't want you to respect anyone over another. That's what Paul said. Don't respect anyone over another. In other words, everybody, you're all there together, working together. You're all trying to accomplish something. Greatness in God. We're all trying. I work with Doc. You work with me. I work with Steve. Steve works with me. Steve works with Keyshawn. Keyshawn works with James and Jason. Do you understand how it works? We're all working together. We're all links in a chain. That's life in motion. When we all hook up together, and a train can go nowhere. You can have there's Larry back there. You can have 300 cars behind you, Larry. Larry's an engineer. And I'm going to tell you, those 300 cars will sit there and go nowhere until it's hooked to has to be hooked to an engine. What is our engine? The Holy Spirit. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So control in my life and in your life, control feels safe, but it stalls motion. It hinders motion. What? We cling to relationships that we don't need, relationships that are not productive, relationships that don't bring anything of value to you. Has anybody ever been involved in a relationship like that? If it brings no value, what are you doing? And I taught my sons that years ago. I said, boys, if it don't bring you certain things, I have to go through it, but I had 5 points. I said, if those things are not, don't do it. Financially, spiritually, emotionally. I went through the list. I said, if these things are not met, do not do it. But you don't understand, he's handsome. She's beautiful. Do you understand that's all skin deep? But hell goes deep, brother. Hell can cut you deep. Did I offend anybody? I'm telling you the truth. You have to understand sometimes what we bank on and what we think is great is not great at all. That'll be one to stick with you. Hell goes deep. So we cling to relationships we don't need. We cling to money because money is the thing. It's my God. I know people right now, they've made money their God. It is literally what they worship. Oh, they don't tell you they worship it. But they do. But I read my scriptures this morning, this being kingdom first. I was reading Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and you have to understand that it's very clear in the Bible, if you want to be blessed, you have to sow. That's just in the Bible. It's not Alan Meshuggah. That's in the Bible. And once you understand that principle, the more seed you eat, the more you're going to be in need. But when you plant that seed, God will bring forth the harvest. So we have to, we cling to these things. Relationships, money. I could talk on money. I don't want to deal with that now. And then we cling on to our plans because I had a plan. How many had a plan for life, but it didn't go that way? Mike was the only one that didn't raise his hand. Do you understand that I had some plans too, but God said, but they're not my plans. Your ways, I'll read it in a moment, but you just understand your way is not my way, Alan. But God, I didn't think. He said, that's the problem. You're not thinking. He said, I didn't ask you to think. He said, I asked you to believe. I asked you to trust in my word. So we think that relationships, money, and plans, because we think all that control brings me safety. It's not bringing you safety. It's bringing you down. A controlling man, a controlling woman, a controlling children, you don't need those things. I could get into another path here, but a marriage has to be a partnership. Anybody that controls that, it's no longer a partnership. When you start dictating, this is the way it's going to be done, it's no longer, it's a dictatorship. It's not a partnership. Did I offend anybody with that? I hope not, but that's exactly what happens. That's why marriages fall apart, because somebody thinks they know better than the other person. Then they don't talk anymore. They don't communicate anymore. They don't express their needs anymore. This is what I need. And be honest about it. How many people want to be honest? I know it's not our nature to want to be honest. I mean, really, because you want to say, I'm fine, honey. Everything's fine. But you know what? Behind that I'm fine is a lot of other things. We need to express that before God can work on our behalf. I'm getting way off here. Doc, it's your fault. But control does not equal safety. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. You've heard me quote this so many times. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof leads to death. Because that's my way. That's the way I wanted to do it. It's the way I wanted to see it. That's the way I wanted to experience it. And God says, that's not my way. That's not the way I want you to do it. Now, most people, that scripture I just read, most people live like this, their way. I'm going to do it my way. No matter what, I'm going to do it exactly the way that I want to get it done. Man, y'all look good in here today. I know I said that before, but I thought I saw Gerald, and did they come in? Oh, you're sinners today. That's good. Okay. Okay, but you're here. That's pretty important. I've been missing you guys, man. I'm telling you. But most people live just this way, in my way. It's like this, living that way. I got in a car with a pastor where were we at? Los Angeles area, Orange County. And he took me into his garage, and he had a Silver Shadow, like some kind of Shadow Porsche with a racing engine in it. And he said, you want to take a ride? I said, sure. So I get in there with him. Now, in that area, he went up a road. What's the name of that road that goes up? Starts with an M? Mulholland? Oh, yeah, that's it. And so I'm thinking, this is cool. I'm riding. We're going to take a nice leisurely ride. Good night. Had a turbo in it. And I'm sinking back, and I'm going, I'm clawing down, holding on. And here's what life is like. I'm sitting over on the other side of the car pressing the brake. I almost pushed my foot through the floorboard. Has anybody ever done that before? I'm pushing my foot through the... Her too. I'm pushing my foot through the floorboard, but guess what happened? Not a thing. I would say a bad word there, but not a thing happened, and he scared the bejesus out of me. And that car did not slow down one bit. And that's the way we try to live our lives, is pressing on something we have no control with. Is that good enough? But we got our foot on it, and we're going to get her done, buddy. It's like riding with Crystal. I'm pressing on the brake all the time. And one day she'll learn. It comes back to bite you. But that's what it's like. We're trying to control what isn't ours. I heard a yes. Somebody believe me. That's what's happening in life. Life is in motion. We wonder why it's going in the wrong direction. It's because we're trying to control what's not ours. He says, you're my dear little children. Either we belong to him or we don't. Either he is the master, either he's the king or the great shepherd, or he's not. So life in motion slows down for me, and it'll slow down for you when you grip the wheel. When you start gripping the wheel and you start pressing the brake, you're over on the other side of the car acting like you're driving it. What you're saying when you grip the wheel, I know better than you, God. You don't have this, God, because you don't know. Yeah, God knows. I coined this little statement this day. It sounded like a Quaker. When I grip the wheel, it's my trust is in me and not in thee. And that's the truth, Jimmy. My trust then becomes in me and not in thee. But he's the one I have to trust. He's the one that keeps my heart beating. Do you know you're only one heartbeat away from standing in the presence of God? That'll scare you if you're not ready. I thought this morning I was taking a shower. I got out of the shower. I had my swimming trunks on, so don't worry about it. I always wear my swimming trunks. So as I stepped out of the shower, I thought, you know, life is so quick. You could be half in the shower and half out, and God call you home. I said, Lord, please don't do that. Let me get my clothes on first. I did. But that just hit me all of a sudden, the quickness of life. At one moment, my mother was saying, Merry Christmas. At one moment, I said to my mother, do you know who I am? She said, yes, you're my son, which she had dementia, but she snapped out of it. She said, yes, you're my son. Of course I know who you are. And one moment later, I walked out the door. My sister called me back. She had gone to heaven. That quick. And really wasn't suffering. She just went that quick. Maybe your sister went that way. It was just that quick. So I want my life in motion to be in his motion, in his plan, because I don't know when I'm going to have to stand before him and him say, well, I tried to show you, but you didn't follow my way. You didn't listen to me. Who were you listening to, Alan? Well, I had to listen to Denise. He said, well, that's where you messed up. Well, I had to listen to, just put your name in it. I had to listen to Jimmy Grove. I had to listen to him because he knew. No, God says, see, that's where you messed up. I didn't ask you to listen to them. I asked you to listen to me. Man. And if they're a good relationship, the Bible teaches me that the Spirit will work on them too and there will be an agreement. If it's not a good relationship, there will be no agreement. Are y'all with that? So I don't know better than God and you don't know better than God. None of us in here. I'm praying for Kathy, too. She fell and broke her arm this week. I hate that. I hate it. Surrender, when we talk about surrender, it unlocks freedom. When you surrender to God, it unlocks freedom. What do you mean? If we read Isaiah, you don't have to do it right now, but Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it reminds us God's ways. Well, I'm going to read it. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Declares who?
The Lord.
The Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He makes it clear there. You say, but that's Old Testament. Listen, old, new, whatever, it's still the Word of God. And it's still applicable for today. Amen? Life is like this. Life is like this in our walk for God. It's like having a tug of war with God. How many people know you don't really want to win? You don't try to win that one? Life is like having a tug of war with God. But when you let go of the rope, you stop straining and start trusting. Stop straining and start trusting. In other words, you let go. So what are you saying? Get your hands out of it. Get your hands out of it. Breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. Breakthrough comes when we trade anxiety for trust. Boy, we could sit right there all day. Because a lot of us in here are anxious. How many people have anxiety? I mean, you get anxious. I know you do. How about, come on, let's be honest. I know you do too. Don't act like you don't. Shame on you. You anxious, you get anxiety. I mean, I get that when I go see my doctor. I get anxious and I'm afraid he's going to put on that silver glove. And he does. He does it just to offend me. Breakthrough comes. Breakthrough for you. Life in motion. Breakthrough comes when you trade anxiety for trust and exhaustion for rest and fear for faith. That'll preach all day. Anxiety's got to, I'll leave it behind. I take off this. You know, the Bible talks about rest. Don't want to minister this now because it's such a deep subject. But he says, be fearful lest you miss the rest of God. I won't preach it right now, but that's a powerful message. Be fearful. Fear it. Because where we need to be is in the rest of God, the rest of God. So I'm going to trade anxiety for trust, exhaustion for rest, and fear for faith. I'm going to have faith when everybody else says you're not going to make it. Yes, I am. You can't get well. Why can't I? I heard a man tell me this week in Nashville. Doctor said he only had a few months to live. And he said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to keep living. I'm choosing to live and not die. And guess what? Those months have gone by. I looked at him. I said, man, you don't even look, there's no sick. You don't look sick at all. You look good. You look great. And he said, I feel great. They gave him some kind of treatments, which are supposed to be devastating, get sick and nauseous and all this, some kind of proton therapy. And he said he wouldn't wish that on his worst enemy, but he said, I've never felt bad about it. Now, his next statement is where I really grasped. He said, but Alan, I want you to hear me. Past this point, it's all God. I'm never going to do this again. Amen. We need to get that place in our life. Past this point, the devil has messed with me long enough. It's like he got trying to mess up Kathy. The devil has messed with us long enough, and past this point, it's all God. It's not Alan anymore. It's not Dolores anymore. It's not Valerie anymore. Past this point, I'm drawing a line in the sand, Jason. Past this point, it's all God. And if it's not God, I'm not going there. I feel good today. How about y'all? I'm going to go home today and feel real good. You know why? Because I'm telling y'all the truth today. And I want you to grow in faith and know that you're more than able and more than capable to accomplish anything that you set in your heart and God has purposed in your life. You will accomplish it. Amen. You will accomplish it. So we have to really then trust the words of Jesus Christ. If he said it, I believe it and I accept it. Matter of fact, here's a trust I have to trust in. Matthew 11:28. Watch this. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden or burdened in the new NIV, and are burdened, and I will give you rest. So if you're filled with anxiety, he said, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What's the yoke? It's the thing that they put on the cart, on the ox to pull the cart. He said, but hear me, take my yoke upon you, because the yoke you're running with now is driving you in the wrong direction. Now watch. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It's Jesus talking. And I am gentle, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He's talking about himself. He's gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Life in motion. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many people want that? I do. I'll get into that yoke any day. Because things are going to start working out for me. Life in motion accelerates when you release control. Life in motion accelerates when you release control. I remember, you know, if you're going to go down a hill and you're in a car and coast, thank you. So if you're going to coast and you keep hitting the brake, you're not going to hit top acceleration. And that's the way it is in life with God. He's saying, look, take your foot off the brake and let me take you. The gravity of my spirit take you to where you need to be. Okay. In other words, in God, quit jerking the wheel. Quit reaching over from the and grabbing the wheel and jerking on it. And stop being a backseat driver. My wife is not a backseat driver. She's a front seat driver. If it wasn't for her, you know how many buildings I'd hit? How many people I'd hit? How many people I'd run over? She helps me. I kind of miss her. I sat in the garage for 3 hours the other day because I didn't know how to get out. I had to call her on the phone, babe. I'm not real sure about that. But we try to be a backseat driver with God. And why do I have to stop? Because you can't see what God sees. And you can't react as fast as he can react. He can react a lot faster than you can react. So that means he knows what he's doing. He's got you. Remember this. You can always trust the one. Mark this down. You can always trust the one who's already been in your future. Doctor. He's been in your future. You say, well, I don't know where I'm going. He does. He's already seen you years from now. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He's standing in your future. That's why I submit myself to him. I say, God, look, you know, in the church, here we are. It's a great crowd here today. But where does God want to take us? I'm going to say this. Where does God want to take us? Where your obedience allows. Now, that's a heavy thought. Where your obedience allows. If we're willing and obedient, God will take us into new directions and new places. If not, we'll just be the status quo. I don't want to be a part of status quo ministry. That's not the name of this church, status quo ministry. I want it to be his place, his church. I'm telling you, if I had my druthers, and I will one day, I'd rather call it something else. Because we are disciples of Christ. We're partners together to reach the world. Someone was telling me they saw a video clip of me. And in that video, I was preaching on television. I was around the world. And I think Linda Tabor told me she saw it. And the truth of the matter is, we're ministering the gospel around the world. So together, we're getting a lot accomplished. How many people do you think have been touched through the message of this church? Only in heaven will we see it, Doctor. Only in heaven when we stand and look and say, I was touched by this ministry. I was touched by one of the faithful few. I was touched by them. And how many people did they touch that you touch? It could be exponential. Man, I'm telling you, don't ever cut yourself short. So I'm going to quit jerking the wheel. I'm going to trust the one who's already been in my future. I want you to look at Jesus for a moment. If we're going to follow him, he's our example. Even Jesus moved through surrender. Life in motion. What do you mean? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22:42. He said, not my will, but yours be done. Think about that for a minute. Even the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, without surrender in the garden, when he prayed that prayer, without surrender in the garden, there is no triumph at the cross or victory at the empty tomb. No triumph at the cross, no victory at the empty tomb. I'm almost through. Be another hour or so. Now, if Jesus had to surrender to move forward, so do we. Why do we sing that song? I surrender all, I surrender all. Because we're truly surrendering to the Lord. We're giving our way over to His way. Listen, there are people in the world today that Christians, in Nigeria, 56,000 Christians have been slaughtered. Did y'all know that? While we sit here in this air-conditioned facility, churches have been burned, 56,000 have been martyred. My God, what is this world coming to? He said, that'll never happen here in the United States of America. Oh, we thought we'd never have to leave 1521 Hurt Road either, did we? But things happen. Things happen, dear brothers and sisters. That's when you find out, do I really believe and trust Jesus or don't I? That's when you find out. If Jesus had to surrender to move forward, so do we. Life in motion finds power in surrender. Life in motion finds power in surrender. There's strength in letting go. There's strength in letting go. I could use illustrations for that. I'm not going to. But when you let go, you find yourself. So ask yourself this. What are the things that you're gripping too tightly? What are you holding on too tightly to? That's a good one. What are you holding on to that God wants you to release? Keyshawn, think about that. What is it maybe you're holding on to that God wants you to let go of? We need to start our day, me included, we need to start our day saying, Lord, I release control, lead me. Lord, I release control, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, speak to me. Speak into my spirit, Lord. Please, Lord, whisper into my spirit. Lord, you said that you'd give me the Holy Spirit and he would cause me to remember all the things that you have said. That's scripture. He said, you said that, and I say that every day. Lord, help me to hear it. Help me to remember it. Bring it back to my memory. Because I don't want my way. I want your way. So, Lord, I release control. Lead me. We need to say, replace my plan with your will. Replace my plan with your will. In what? What are you talking about, Bishop? In my daily decisions. And swap control for obedience. Swap control for obedience. You know, obedience is cool, and everybody likes obedient people until you have to do it. Everybody says they believe in the word until they have to follow it. But real joy comes when you follow what God has taught us. Am I right or wrong? I feel it in my spirit even now. So what are we trying to control? I have to ask myself that question. What am I trying too hard to control? I'm trying to control my wife. That's difficult. She said impossible. No, you know, we tease, but we try to control things that really we shouldn't try to control. What are we trying too hard to control? Where are we resisting God's lead? Where is God trying to lead you? He said, well, Bishop, I've been meaning to talk to you. I've been being led away from here to another place. That's not God. That's not what I'm talking about. He's not leading you away from where you've been planted. He led you here to produce fruit. He said, well, I'm not producing fruit. Then whose fault is that? It doesn't matter if you plant here or plant somewhere else, you're not going to produce. Now I've gone to meddling. A good church member is a good church member. A bad church member is bad no matter where they go. Did I clear that up for you? Then I'm going to ask this question. What scares you about surrendering to Him? What scares you really about surrendering to God? You know, in the war, if you were in war, in battle, they'd wave the white flag, which meant defeat. We're defeated. It's over. But in the kingdom of God, when you raise the white flag, it means victory because you've surrendered. When you lift your hands in surrender, that's why you lift your hands, it's saying, I surrender. When you lift your hands in surrender, that's when God takes your wheel and your life truly starts to move forward. When we release what He says, let me take hold of. When you surrender, we're saying that we trust you, God, without question. I'll close with this. Surrender isn't weakness, life in motion. Surrender isn't weakness, so quit thinking that. It takes a lot of strength. Surrender isn't weakness, it's strength in motion. You see, the road ahead with God requires trust, not control. Trust, not control. I trust you, God. I'm not going to try to control you. When you release the wheel, the steering wheel of life, you don't lose your life. You finally find it. You find it in surrender. You don't find it in trying to control.